Turn, please, to Philippians chapter 2. We've been looking at this great chapter in God's Word, Philippians 2. Last week, we looked at verse 14. I'd like to read to you verses 14 and 15, the latter of the two verses holding our attention tonight. Philippians 2, 14 and 15. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe. Now, this great chapter is about humility, and we began to see last week that part of humility is being subject to the will of God, being meek and quiet before our Creator, with the way He made us, with the way He made the world we live in, with the way He made other people around us. Being contented with the God of providence and the things that He brings into our lives. Being satisfied with the God of all grace and the way that He has brought salvation to us and the way He is working out that salvation and the time of His completing it. Being content and satisfied and quiet is a part of humility. But you see, in a sense, we've only talked about the secret will of God. The will of God that is in no way revealed to us until it comes to pass. The things that happen in our lives that God had planned long before they came into our lives, but we had no idea that they were coming. It is those things and those things alone that we've talked about thus far. But God has a revealed will as well as a secret will. That is, there is a will in which He expresses to us what He wants for our lives and what He wants us to seek in our lives. And the verse that we have before us this evening in verse 15 is talking about the revealed will of God as opposed to the secret will of God. And part of humility is submitting to the revealed will of God as well as the secret will of God. In other words, agreeing with the goals and the ends that God assigns to us. If He reveals in His Word that He wants a certain thing for His people, for His children, then truly humble children will agree with that goal and make God's goal their goal and seek for themselves the things that God is seeking for them. And it is this revealed will that is being spoken about in verse 15. So that you may become blameless. Now that's a word that refers to external purity. A person being above accusation, beyond criticism. A person whose life is a life of integrity externally. And then there's another word added to that. God's will for the Christian is that he be blameless and pure. And the word pure is really subjective. Blameless has to do with our outward behavior. Pure has to do with our inward behavior. And it probably, that word refers to the kind of thing Jesus said to the man who came to Him. And our Lord said, in him was found no guile, no trickery. A person being genuine. A person being very pure and in his heart, without any deceit in his ways. Blameless outwardly, pure inwardly, the children of God. In other words, God wants you to be holy, and God has said He wants you to live a holy life. That's God's revealed will for your life if you are a child of God, if you're a Christian. God wants you to be sanctified. He wants you to live a holy life, a moral life. Now, people get so agitated about what is God's will for my life. Well, we can tell you, God wants you to be blameless and pure as children of God. That's His will for your life. Well, of course He wants that, but what's His will for my life? By which people usually mean, what job should I take? What town should I live in? Whom should I marry? What school should I go to? and on with these details. But those details really do not matter all that much compared to this, that God wants you to be blameless and pure. That's God's revealed will for your life. And it will take enormous concentration and a tremendous amount of energy to be blameless and pure. And that's what God wants you to give your energy to in your life. You tend to worry about the things that do not matter so much. God wants you to be concerned about holiness and purity in your life. If you can just take each step of your life being blameless and pure as children of God, the Lord will be very pleased with your living. But holy living takes a lot of attention. And it takes a lot of effort and a lot of work. And it takes that because you live in a world that is crooked and evil. You see it in verse 15. God wants you to be blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved or twisted generation. You live in a crooked and twisted generation. And He wants you to be holy and pure, blameless, in that kind of setting. This phrase that we see, the crooked and depraved generation, is lifted out of the Song of Moses in Deuteronomy 32. You can look for it at some time. Jesus uses a lot of parallel phrases in His talking to people and His preaching in the New Testament. He spoke of His generation. Jesus spoke of His generation as an evil and adulterous generation. In Matthew 17, He calls them a faithless and perverse generation. Well, your generation is like that too. The generation you live in is crooked. It's not straight. It's not following the straight and narrow way. It's not following the path of morality that God has taught in His Ten Commandments. It's twisted. Its whole way of thinking is twisted and contorted and wrong and out of shape. It isn't normal. It isn't right. Not the thinking and not the practice of the generation in which you live. And that's why in the New Testament you're told in Romans chapter 12, do not be conformed to this world. Don't be like the world that you're living in. And it takes a great deal of energy and it takes a great deal of attention and concentration to be blameless and pure in the kind of world that you're living in. And it shouldn't surprise you that the world is like that. God wants you to be outwardly blameless and inwardly pure, without fault, in the midst of a world that is a very evil world. And that's a major job. That's not part-time work. That's not a hobby. That's not a sideline. That is God's will for your life. And the moral law and what you need to do to be blameless and pure should always be uppermost in your mind, Christian. Now, I want you to see how the Scripture emphasizes what God says He expects you to do here in verse 15, because there's another phrase that we haven't looked at. And it's an illustration to show that God understands exactly what He's asking of you. The last phrase in verse 15, you're going to shine like stars in a universe. You're going to be like luminaries in the heavens. You're going to be like the stars that shine on a clear night. And they shine the brightest when the sky is the darkest. And the world in which you are living is black with darkness. It is contorted, it is twisted, it is crooked, it is out of whack. Society is out of whack. America is out of whack. Your generation is out of whack. But God puts you in the midst of that generation so that you will shine as bright lights with your purity of living and with your blameless way of walking before God. A few Christians here, and when you look up at the stars at night, you don't see all of the stars gathered into one corner together, do you? All of the light in one place and the rest of the heavens completely dark. They're scattered star here, a star there, tens of thousands of miles between them of blackness. God wants you Christians to be like that. Not all gathered together in one place in a little Christian society, but sprinkled in the world. A few Christians in this company and a few Christians in that place where you go to school. Only a few. But you're like the stars in the blackness. And God wants you to shine like the stars with purity and brightness and morality. Do you see that God wants you to be different from the other people around you? That's what He's saying His will for your life is, that you be different. The stars are different from the blackness. People who are blameless are different from the crooked and perverted and twisted generation that we live in. But that's what God wants. He wants you to be different. Now, some people try to be as much like the world as possible. And the theory is, if I can be like them in almost every way, and they like me, then maybe I can do something for the Lord Jesus. No, He says, I want you to be different. I want you to shine like a light in the darkness. I want your light to so shine before men that they will see your good works and it'll be evident that you're different. Not odd, not an awkward personality, not hard to live with, but the purity and the morality and the blamelessness should shine out of your life so that men may see that. And you'll be very, very different. Now that sometimes is very uncomfortable to have people notice your good works. But the Lord Jesus said, let that light shine before men, the differences, that they can see what good works are, and then glorify your Father who is in heaven. Because that light is meant to be a warning to them that they are darkness. It's interesting what light does in the midst of darkness. It lights up the darkness, it cheers the darkness, but at the same time it gives warning to the darkness, doesn't it? And when an unbeliever sees a Christian living in a holy life, it warns him of his own disobedience to God's commandments. Most people who know something about the commandments of God reason, well, it's just impractical to live by the Ten Commandments. You can't do that in the modern world. You certainly can't expect a person to live like that until he comes up to a Christian who's living by the commandments. And it's a rebuke to him, and it's uncomfortable to him. But at the same time that it's uncomfortable to him, it's attractive to him, and it's appealing to him. Because people like to be treated with dignity and kindness and love. People like to be told the truth. People like others to care about them and their well-being, to care about their property and their integrity as a human being, and to treat them with that kind of dignity in the way you talk to them, in the way you have business dealings with them. They like to be treated that way. And so they find that that's appealing. And it's like salt. It makes the world worth living in to come up to meet a few blameless and pure children of God in the world. Makes it livable in this crooked and perverse generation. So it's appealing, but it can be uncomfortable at one and the same time. But do you see God's strategy for evangelism? Again, Christians think, if I can become the best athlete, if I can become a successful businessman, if I can win a beauty contest, if I can win a Nobel Prize, that's something the world will recognize. They'll understand that. They'll respect me then, and then I can put in a word for Jesus. And the Lord says, I don't want you to outdo the world in achieving the things that they think are so wonderful in their twisted and contorted and disturbed way of thinking. I want you to shine as lights of purity and blamelessness, and that should be your goal. Don't take on the world's goals. Seek to be morally pure and upright, to love God with all your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself. Don't get it backward. God wants you to be in this world with purity and righteousness. Well, no Christian really needs to be told much about just how crooked and perverse this generation is, do you? You can spend hours thinking that through for yourself, but when you do begin to think of just how crooked and perverse the generation that you live in happens to be, you'll realize what an opportunity you have to do something tremendous for God in the days in which we're living. And all we're talking about is becoming blameless and pure and different from the world that you're living in, being morally upright. Well, the world in the United States of America, this generation, in the 1990s, really doesn't have much to do with worshiping God, does it? Doesn't spend a Sabbath day worshiping God, doesn't attend places where His name is praised regularly, does not reverence His name. People are taking His name in vain everywhere. What an opportunity to be different in the matter of the reverence of God and worshiping Him and devoting yourselves to Him. Drugs and alcohol. What a problem it is in the world. Oh my, what are we going to do to clean up the whole mess of society? Drugs and alcohol have become an international problem. They are a national crisis. How are we going to solve the whole thing? God says, you be different. You be sober. Don't seek after cheap thrills through alcohol and drugs. Be sober. Don't abuse yourself through drugs. Opportunity to be blameless and pure. No, the matter of marriage. The broken homes in America, this crooked and perverse generation, its whole way of thinking has been so distorted that marriages are breaking right and left and children are being born out of wedlock. They're born fatherless and raised in poverty. Maybe they're even born addicted to drugs themselves. There's near chaos and moral collapse of the home in America. What an opportunity. Do you know what energy it will take and what concentration and what sacrifice it will take to have holy families? But if you do, it will shine as a light in a very dark universe. Well, you can see how you can go on and on. I know how some of our young teenagers feel who leave our Christian school. It's nice to grow up in a Christian school where most of the students come from Christian families. And we're taught the Word of God and we worship and we pray every day in school and the teachers talk to us about God. And then as a young teenager, you go to the intermediate high school and everybody's taking God's name in vain. And they're talking about wild sex. And kids your age at just the start of high school are having babies. And they're not married. And the kind of language and the kind of philosophy. And you look around and there just aren't many people that are like you. It's a crooked, it's a perverse generation. And it's a shock. The whole generation is going a different direction than you're going. God says, I want you to be blameless and pure. And I want your light to shine right in the midst of that. I don't want you to pull out of that world and shine where there's already... I want you in that dark world to shine as a light and be different, different, different in holiness and purity. And if you live like that, do you think no one else will notice? And I tell you, they will notice. You can even live differently in facing trials different from other people. What do people do when they get in trouble in life? They mumble and they grumble and they complain. The Christian is told to do all things without murmuring or even questioning, but to be subject to his God and trust in the goodness of God. Why, people notice that too, won't they? If it is so clear that the Christian way of living and the world's way of living is so different, the world is a crooked and perverse place, and your generation is like that, and God cares about holiness and morality, and that's what our text is saying, what do you think is going to happen to our crooked and perverse generation when it comes to stand before God? Young people who've begun to realize with almost a shock, the whole generation is going another way. People my age are all going another way. A totally different way than the Bible teaches. And many of the people who even grow up in the church who are in my generation are going a totally different way than the way that the Bible teaches. Sometimes they put on an outward face of morality, but when we get alone and talk, I know that the generation is going a different way. What's going to happen to that generation when they stand before God who cares and who has published to the world, my revealed will for you is that you be blameless and pure. I am a God who cares about righteousness. What is going to happen to the crooked and perverse generation that has departed from the ways of righteousness that God has revealed in His holy law? What's going to happen is expressed by our Lord Jesus when He taught on the subject. He said, there is going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There is going to be an outer darkness, a blackness of darkness forever, into which God casts them. Because God is going to gather His stars into His kingdom of light, and the stars are going to be gone. It's going to be blackness of darkness forever. And where they occasionally came in contact with people who were tender and caring because they were touched by the grace of God, they will be in a place where they will never meet with that love of God from the Lord Himself or from His people again forever. Do you know what Peter said in Acts 2 and verse 40? On the day of Pentecost, when he finished preaching, the very last thing that we're told about that sermon, he preached to the people, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Don't you go the way the corrupt generation is going. Save yourself from this corrupt generation. Young person, when you end up in high school and you look around and you say, wow, if there are any other Christians, they're all hiding somewhere. The whole generation is corrupt. Nobody believes what the Bible is saying. Nobody's following the Ten Commandments. There's so much cheating, so much taking of God's name in vain, so much sexual immorality, so much drunkenness and drugs. You need to save yourself from this corrupt generation. If you stop for a moment and say, whew, how am I going to live in this generation and be a Christian? Maybe I better join this generation. Maybe nobody in our generation can make it. Peter said, save yourself. Don't go the way of the generation. Save yourself from the corrupt generation. Now, we started this evening by talking about the difference between the secret will of God and the revealed will of God. And we especially applied that to the Christian. The truly humble Christian will submit himself to the secret will of God, and he will agree with the revealed will of God. He will make God's goal his goal, to be blameless and pure in a corrupt generation. Well, there's a revealed will of God for the sinner as well. There's a secret will of God, but there is a revealed will of God. I don't know if you are still unconverted. I don't know what God's secret will for you is, but I do know what His revealed will is, and the Bible is very plain about that. Peter said that God is not willing that anyone should perish. But that all should repent and come to a knowledge of the truth. That's God's revealed will. God doesn't want you to perish. That's His revealed will. God wants you to repent of your sin and escape the destiny of this corrupt generation by turning to His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins, by receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit by which you can live a blameless and pure life the rest of your days. And that's His will for your life. He puts it the same way in the Old Testament through the prophet Ezekiel. God said, I don't take any pleasure in the death of the wicked. I don't want the wicked to die. I don't want the most wicked people to die. But I want them to repent and live. That's my revealed will for them. That's what I want for them. You may sit there and say, well, if that's what God wants and God's in control of all things, then why hasn't His secret will already saved me? I don't know how to put together His secret will and His revealed will, and neither do you. I don't know how to put them together for the Christian. But I know what His revealed will is, and that is that you repent and believe and call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and save yourself from the corrupt generation in which you're living. And the great hope of that is set before you in the table this evening, picturing the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And those who gather here are professing by His grace to be striving after blamelessness and purity of life as children of God, seeking to be without blame. Oh, we come confessing our faults. We're not yet without fault, but we are seeking to be what God wants us to be, without fault in this corrupt and crooked generation. And we aim to be different from the world around us as we gather at the table. And the revealed will of God for everyone here this evening is that you escape from this corrupt generation. Let's pray together. Our Father, sometimes our minds do turn to things that are too high for us. And we try to put together thoughts in the Scripture that we cannot bring together. But it is very plain what you want us to be and what you want us to do. And we know your word is right, Father. This is a corrupt and perverse and twisted generation that we live in. All we need to do is look at the TV one night, at the news and the so-called entertainment. It is twisted. It is perverse. You are right. Save us from it, we pray, through Jesus Christ. Amen.